Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we get into the text of the sermon, I wish to congratulate all your truth scholars who realize that the reading from the Gospel is not from St. Matthew, but from St. Mark. And those of you who have memorized the Greek New Testament obviously knew that. There was omission from somewhere, the verses were indeed in the right place in the book as well. The sermon text is from St. Luke, chapter 7, which is part of the Gospel reading for last Sunday. The story of the healing of the young man at Nain. Afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, accompanied by his disciples and large crowds. As he approached the gate of the town, he met a funeral. The dead man was the only son of his widowed mother, and many of the townspeople were there with him. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Weep no more," which is the text. Last weekend, I had the pleasure of driving through the countryside of Illinois. And one of the places I visited was Effingham. And I remember Effingham well, and I bless Effingham every day I pass through Effingham, because in all the years that I attended this seminary and traveled between St. Louis and New York City, the car never broke down in Effingham. Other places I don't think so fondly of. The reason why Effingham found its way into the seminary station this morning and this sermon was because as I drove around there, I discovered a barn that was still standing since the bicentennial. And on top of the barn was painted a gigantic flag with 13 stars, and it said 1776, 1976. And my first thought was, "My goodness, I wonder what paint they use. The stuff I put on my house doesn't last 4 years." But then something else came to mind, and what came to mind was a pleasant experience I had when I was living in Washington, D.C. during the bicentennial year and attended the so-called 1776. And in that show, John Adams, toward the very end, enters the empty, dark, cold, lonesome, and silent houses of Congress and cries out, "Is anybody there? Does anybody care? Is anybody there? Does anybody care?" And we haven't come very far from 1776 as we should here in 1980. Because all around us there are people in the world who today continually cry out and say, "Is anybody there? Does anybody care?" It's like an infectious disease. Who among us has not been sent one of those glorious letters addressed personally to us? They know our address, they know our name, they know where we live, what street we're on. And the telltale signs are there because there are little doctor corporations down one side. And the letter brings the good news. Mr. Paterno of 10 North Seminary Terrace, you are eligible to win $5 million. And you know and I know there ain't nobody there, and nobody cares. And if you're clever, as I think I am at times, you respond to some of these letters and you write, "I am the receipt of your computer generated letter, and we're very happy to hear from you." Is anybody there? Does anybody care? It gets even worse. As we deal with those things which we cannot put in 5:13, namely the suffering and pain of people in our world today. And the hungry mother in the cities of this world, who goes to get food for her children because there's no milk in the refrigerator. And she is told and advised with a great smile, "Go down to the food stamp office. They will help you." And in she walks, and she sits down and she's told, "Now, 1 minute, please. You have to sit on this little bench here and take a moment. Take a moment." And then her number comes up, she sits at another desk. And the person says to her, "Now, friend, we are definitely here to help you. Your government cares. If you'll just fill out these forms in about 6 weeks, you can have your food stamps if you're lucky." And doesn't that mother feel at that point, does anybody care? Is anybody there? A little book to which you might see going to the church, too, that's fine. And you call up, and the phone rings twice, and you hear, "This is the recorded voice of Pastor Snapchat. I'm sorry not to be in the office now, but if you will leave a message in 20 seconds, tell me your problem, and I will answer you at my earliest convenience." And you wonder, is anybody there? Does anybody care? And we like to think of ourselves, you know, as the caring ones, learning all about the gospel intercourse and how we should love one another. A little bit of it infects us too, doesn't it? And we do rationalize those moments when people come to us for aid and we say, "I'm terribly busy. I never realized he did to be this difficult." All the things I've got to remember from the Book of Proverbs. And the people who come to us wanting our aid, well, many times we could legitimately give it without hampering the effect on our growth. They too feel, is anybody there? Does anybody care? The woman in our text had it by that way too, you know. She was the widow, and she had one son who was dead. And they were laughing out of town in the funeral. And the Bible says, Jesus looked at this, and he had compassion on the woman. His heart went out to her. And in the words of John Adams, we would have to say, the Bible said, somebody was there, and somebody cared. And Jesus looked at her and he said, "Weep not," and we all know what to meant to that. But the important thing for us to remember is that in this world where nobody cares and sometimes nobody's there, our Lord Jesus Christ is. Unless we overlook the times that he was there, let's take an amazing time. You know, he was there when we had our heads over that fence and some clumsy pastor looked like we were over our heads in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid to splash a little. The water and the world. And he was there, and he cared. He cared enough to buy that person back and make him new. Who? You. And he fell down and he still to you. And he didn't get worse, he got better. And he had a loving mother to pick you up and tell you what a brave girl, a brave girl you were. He was there too, and he cared. And then he went off to school alone. And he thought he'd never make it, and he was petrified. He was there too, and he cared. And the many little illnesses and the many little problems, he was there, and he cared. And none of us could say, is anybody there, does anybody care? Because that question is really part of our vocabulary. It's not in our phrase book, our memory bank. But we are those who rest in the gospel of him, who is there, and he cares. He cares what else he has. He cared enough to go to the church. He cared enough to suffer and die for us. He was there and he cared. And that's a glorious feeling. And it sets us all emotion, doesn't it? Because you see, the caring and the being there, if you will, happens to go to us. We can't help that care. We can't help but be there because we are the children of him who is always there and always there. I'm reminded of something that happened to me when I was doing field work at Barnes Hospital. The days when I was at the seminary, you could work down there as an orderly. I used to work on the psychiatric ward. I don't think that has any implications for what we were. But anyway, nevertheless, we were there and once I remember a patient coming with very, very depressed. And I like to talk, those of you who know me well, I like to talk. talk, and I sat down and started talking to this person. And they came rushing over like there was going to be a bomb go off in the world, and she grabbed everybody on the table and said, "You don't do that." Said, "Oh my goodness, you know, what have I done now?" So why don't you just sit there? Why don't you just sit there? I said, "That's ridiculous. This is no bus station where people sit like friends and work through credit. If you get to the hospital through therapeutic, I've got to say my piece." She said, "Will you shut up and sit there?" So I sat there. And I sat still and so often. And about 10 days later, I just came to walk out the door. I'll never forget this. She said to me, "Mr. Picotto, thank you so much for sitting." Yeah, I tell you that. But through me, there was some thrill communicated. Because of who I am, namely him for whom Jesus Christ also cares, even as he cares for the king. It could be that way for us always. When the question is asked, "Is anybody there? Does anybody care?" we can only have two answers. The first one is yes. Jesus Christ, my Lord, is there. Jesus Christ, my Lord, does care. And if the question is asked again, "Is anybody there? Does anybody care?" there's only one answer left.